We're talking about research to help minimize middle school angst. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Researchers at Lawrence University in Appleton have this new grant that will allow them to develop an app centered around mindfulness exercises. And it's geared toward adolescents who struggle with rumination. That is like dwelling on negative things sometimes until it consumes them and they just can't move on. Rumination is more prevalent in women than in men, and often takes hold at the onset of puberty. Do you have a child who struggles with rumination? Have you tried to help address it? We're at 800-642-1234. Lori Hilt is an associate professor of psychology at Lawrence University. Lori, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've been leading this study, this adolescent rumination study and effort for the past couple years. We also call this teenage angst. But before we get into what words and terminology are more correct than the other, can you tell us what this study is and what is rumination?
Sure. Rumination is basically what you were saying, dwelling on negative emotions and thoughts, and it's getting caught up in them, getting stuck, and it keeps people from engaging in things that would actually help their mood, like problem solving or just being able to let go of those negative emotions and move on. So it seems to prevent other coping strategies from working.
So how is this different then from like teenage moodiness?
Right. Well, certainly teenage moodiness is, this is part of it. So teens undergo a lot of stressors. You mentioned puberty, certainly all the changes that go with puberty, all the difficulties in adjusting to new schools when kids are going to middle school and then transitioning to high school. And so as kids deal with these stressors, they sometimes worry, which is a form of focusing on the future in a repetitive way, or they sometimes ruminate, which tends to be focusing more on past things in a repetitive way. And when they get stuck in those patterns, that makes it harder for them to deal and makes them more likely to develop things like depression and anxiety. So what we're trying to do in our study is help kids recognize their emotions and come up with a better coping strategy for them so they don't get stuck in these patterns.
So you mentioned depression there. That can be very serious. Do you see that this habit of rumination could emerge in depression?
Yes, it seems that rumination is one of the best predictors of developing future depression. And then once people are depressed, of course, they have more negative information and emotions to ruminate about. So it's kind of a cycle. So we want to try to prevent rumination in order to prevent depression.
We're talking with Lori Hilt, and she's here to discuss an app that's aimed at teaching children mindfulness. She's a psychology professor at Lawrence University. Are you someone who's benefited from practicing mindfulness? What about it helps you cope with the stresses of your life? Do you have a child who is dealing with rumination? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Lori, the grant you received from the National Institutes of Health is for more than $360,000 over several years. Can you tell us more about what you aim to do with this funding?
Sure. So over the course of the grant, we're going to be bringing in 150 local adolescents to our lab, and we'll be giving them one of two versions of our app and asking them to use it for a period of time to see how it might impact the way that they process emotions. So the money is going to allow us to study this in a scientific way. We've piloted the app over the last several years, and it certainly has given us some promising results, but it's really important for us to test it in this larger study, so that's what the money will let us do.
Yeah, so what is happening on this mobile app?
So with the app, it notifies the adolescent three times a day to basically do an emotional check-in. So when they get a notification, the next opportunity they have, they go into the app and it asks them basically to check in on how they're feeling. It asks 10 different questions about their emotions and what they're focusing on at the moment. And then in one version of the app, adolescents are given a short mindfulness exercise. So these exercises last anywhere from 1 to 10 minutes. And what they do is they help the adolescent focus on the present moment. They help them notice the bodily sensations that they're experiencing or focus on their breath. And so basically, we're hoping that through engaging in these emotion check-ins and focusing on the present moment, that will give them another way to cope with their emotions rather than getting caught up in them and dwelling on them.
So is mindfulness then just focusing on the present moment, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the heart of it, is focusing on the present moment, but it's doing so in a particular way, in a non-judgmental way, a very neutral way. And so it's doing it without judgment, essentially. So intentionally focusing on how one is feeling right now. So much of our time, we're focused on the past, you know, oh, I said that, why did I say it that way? Or something in the future, oh, I have to do this, I hope I'm going to do okay at it. And so mindfulness helps us be in the present moment. And research has shown that we're happier when we're in the present moment.
Lori, why do you want to tackle adolescent rumination through an app? Because there could be other ways you could approach this, I would assume, as a psychologist.
Sure. Well, the reason that we wanted to develop an app is because teens are spending so much time using mobile devices, and you've probably heard about some of the negative effects of using mobile devices. And so we thought, well, if teens are using these anyway, why don't we harness them for good and teach them some coping strategies using their mobile devices?
And when they use the app, is it because they are told to use the app at a certain time, or do they turn to it when they feel they're going into this cycle of dwelling on something? What triggers the use of the app?
Well, it could be both. So the app randomly notifies them 3 times a day to use it, but we do tell them that they're welcome to go in any time and use it. And what we hope is that through using it regularly, they will start to naturally turn to these strategies on their own. And so that's one of the things that we're testing. So we'll be following the adolescents for 6 months after they're done using the app to see if there are any lasting effects of it.
Well, let's take a call now. Matt joining us from Racine. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, my question is this, because you're talking and I do all these things. I have a head injury, and I'm wondering if that has to do with it, rumination because of head injury, or if it's just the way I am. I can take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, Lori, what do you think there?
Well, certainly, you know, in terms of what causes rumination, we're still trying to figure that out. There are a lot of factors that may come into play. But we do know that part of rumination is the brain being structured in a certain way. Over time, we develop habits. So I would imagine that perhaps injuring a part of the brain could make it harder to focus on positive things and maybe make it easier to get stuck in some of these cycles. So I think the jury is still out on that.
I'm wondering, is, you know, rumination something that can be, you know, part of our DNA, our genetic makeup, or is it more about, you know, the chemistry in our body and certain, you know, whether we have a certain makeup of things going on at, you know, a certain time, like testosterone?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think most things in psychology are kind of a combination of biological, psychological, and social factors. And with rumination, there's probably a lot of different things that contribute to it. So first of all, you have to have some negative emotional experiences because that's what fuels rumination. And most of us encounter negative experiences in our life, but not everyone gets stuck in rumination. So what are those things? Certainly one's temperament, which we think has sort of a genetic basis, may affect how well we can control our mind and pay attention to different things. So that might have a part of it.
And
also socialization.
Let's pause right there on temperament and socialization with Lori Hilt. She's a psychology professor at Lawrence University studying rumination. Your questions as well, 800-642-1234. Do you struggle with rumination? Let's talk about it. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about adolescent mental health, the issue of rumination, dwelling on negative feelings. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Adolescent rumination can lead to depression in adulthood, as we've learned, and researchers hope that mindfulness exercises delivered through an app might bring some beneficial results in curbing this tendency at a younger age. Do you see rumination tendencies in your tween? What do you do? Maybe you're an adult and you think you had some form of this? Do you wish you could get some kind of help? What is life like for you now? Join in with your questions, your insights, 800-642-1234. Lori Hilt is an associate professor of psychology at Lawrence University, and she stays with us. Lori, when we left off there, you were explaining how there are both physical and psychological bases for adolescent rumination. What do we know about socialization and temperament and things like that?
Yeah. So one of the things that we've looked at is the way that parents and other individuals socialize adolescents to cope with their emotions, starting from a very young age. And one thing we know is that rumination is more common in girls. And that might be partially because we do tend to socialize girls to internalize their feelings more, and we might not encourage them to engage in active problem solving as much. We also know that over-controlling parenting can be a risk factor for developing rumination. And so those are some of the areas that we might think about if we're trying to prevent rumination in our own children.
When you say over-controlling parenting, what might that look like, and how do you see the link there to rumination?
Sure. So over-controlling parenting really has to do with managing one's children. Now, obviously, when children are younger, we have to have more control over them. But when they get into adolescence, it's important to give them autonomy. It's important to let them make choices, to fail, because they're learning how to cope with life. And they get these opportunities at a young age when the stakes are lower, so that when they are off on their own, it's they've had some practice with dealing with those things. So over-controlling parenting is kind of not giving kids those opportunities to learn on their own. And so what we think might happen is then kids are starting to internalize those messages of maybe I'm not good enough, I can't handle things on my own, and that might lead to kind of a ruminative style.
Let's bring in Ella now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Ella.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's
good
on your mind?
Yeah, I'm just calling in. I am someone who has OCD, so I grew up having a lot of ruminations, especially in those teenage years, and was often recommended to use apps of varieties. And I'm just curious to know what this app will have in difference to apps that are already out there.
Ella, when you say you tried a variety of apps, what did you try?
So the Calm app, it's a free mobile app that I had seen through various therapists who recommended it. Granted, you do have to pay for it at a certain point, but that was an app that was kind of used for like meditation and mindfulness exercises.
How, may I ask, Ella, how did it work for you? Did you see an impact?
Yeah, I would definitely say I saw an impact. Really, too, in addition to that, being taught mindfulness exercises through therapy was also very beneficial. I could definitely see an app with therapy. I'm a big advocate for therapy, though, so I'm always going to throw in therapy being such a great point with rumination. And I just love that it's being spoken about, because as a teenager, you know, I'm in my late 20s now, that was not something that was ever spoken about. So I just really appreciate hearing that. Hopefully other teenagers like me who are so confused can get some light on the what's going on.
Well, let's bring Lori into the conversation here. How will your app be different than other products that are out there to find mindfulness?
Yeah, this is a great question. There are so many apps out there that, you know, are for teaching mindfulness. And one of the main goals for our research is really to just study it in a scientific way. So a lot of the apps that are out there haven't been studied. And so we don't know how effective they are. And so our app is not necessarily all that different from other apps, but one thing that is different is that it notifies people throughout the day to check in, and then based on how they're feeling, it recommends particular exercises, whereas some other apps, you just kind of go in and choose your own exercises. But mainly what we're trying to do is see how well this works, what dose do you need, can you even learn mindfulness in these short little bursts? Because as Ella mentioned, I thought she had a great point, learning mindfulness in therapy is also excellent, and that you're going to get much more intensive practice. But for some people, it's not realistic to have the time to do that, or maybe they're not feeling like they need therapy. And so we're trying to see if there's something that they can do to kind of get them through and maybe prevent further problems from happening by doing something in the shorter term.
Ella also mentioned that adolescent rumination is now just coming more into the light, that it wasn't talked about in the past. Do you find that in researching from a psychological standpoint, from a psychology professor, are we just learning about what rumination can really do and its impact?
Yes, I think we are. The term rumination has been around for quite a long time, and the research on its involvement in depression has also been around for about 20 or 30 years. But we kind of have always studied this more in adults, and we haven't really realized, I think, the impact that rumination can have on our overall mental health. And so as we're realizing that, we're starting to study it in younger kids when it's first developing and when depression and anxiety are first developing. So it offers a real opportunity to try to do some preventive interventions.
And Ella also mentioned obsessive compulsive disorder. Do we find any links there?
Yes. Obsessive compulsive disorder by definition involves intrusive, unwanted, repetitive thoughts. And rumination, shares some things in common with that, in that there's these repetitive thoughts, although they do tend to be experienced a little bit differently in people who don't have OCD.
So Mike from Madison called in but couldn't stay with us. Mike went through rumination as an adolescent, wasn't taught coping skills, and Mike thinks it led to depression and anger and said things got harder. And as Mike has gotten older and things change, it gets harder when you don't have the coping skills to manage. And Mike had to relearn these skills as an adult. Is that something that you see in your research, that if you don't address it early on, that this will stay with you in adulthood?
Yeah, we find that in psychology, whatever you do, whatever habits you form, they strengthen over time. So if you start ruminating as a child and you don't learn other ways to cope, that's going to continue throughout adulthood. But the great thing about humans is that we can change, and habits of mind can change with practice. And that's really what the study that we're doing is all about. We're trying to see how much we have to do in order to change. So research on mindfulness has shown that intensive practice, so spending at least a couple of hours a day, or somewhere between maybe 1 and 2 hours a day for 8 weeks, can really change the way the brain is structured and how we cope with emotions. And so what we're trying to do is see, can you change those habits of mind if you do even smaller doses of this?
Let's bring in Kelly now in Cascade. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is a great subject. I definitely ruminated quite a bit in my late grade school, into high school years, and into college. And I still do from time to time. I've developed a lot of mindfulness practices. But what I really noticed about myself was I was looping round and round with questions and kind of deeper inquiries about life and purpose and what am I here for. And when I didn't have an outlet for those, they just kind of kept looping. And as soon as I found safe spaces to bring those out in the open with other people that could really receive the depth of those questions and give me the space to wrestle with them out loud, or through journal writing, that kind of thing, it really helps. And I think adolescents are dealing with so much. I mean, there's just so much depth of all kinds of things going on. And I feel like we skim the surface a lot of times, or feel like they're not capable of handling those deeper questions. But I think they really are wrestling with deep questions and need people that will give them the space to find real answers.
Lori, what do you think of that?
I think the caller brings up a great point, that a lot of people, when they're ruminating, they do it because they are trying to understand themselves and they're asking these questions. But as she pointed out, it's a loop that one gets stuck in. So I thought she brought up some great points about more adaptive ways to self-reflect and get those questions answered. And so talking with other people, journaling, I think those are all great alternatives to getting stuck in these loops. So I think it's great to point out some of those alternative strategies for adolescents.
Lori, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me. It was great to chat with you.
Lori Hilt is an associate professor of psychology at Lawrence University in Appleton, and she's developing an online app carrying out the research that will teach children mindfulness. Coming up, we talk with a UW-Madison researcher about what so-called ghost particles can tell us about the universe. We head to Antarctica to check in on the Ice Cube Observatory. That's right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.